I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Gamertag Radio is on Play.it.
You can now watch Gamertag Radio live on Twitch.
Get all the latest news and coverage related to the gaming industry.
Join hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo.
Don't miss the crew record the podcast live Sundays, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, or Wednesdays, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Get involved with the conversation, send us questions, and be part of the show.
Gamertag Radio.
Follow us, twitch.tv/gamertagradio.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005.
Take it out.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Back on the scene.
With your host, yeah. Podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 688. This is your host, Danny, and joining me this week, we have Paris in the house. Paris.
Hey, what's going on? I finished Voltron Season 3. Hey, it was only 7 episodes, but the good news is Season 4 starts in October, and I was reading today, Netflix gave them a 78-episode arc. So we got a lot of Voltron coming.
Ooh.
And Season 3 is freaking dope.
Yeah.
It's dope. I never thought I would love the freaking line Voltron, but I don't know, spoilers. Trust me, where they're going with the story, dude, if you're a fan of the old series or you're jumping in now, there's so many nods to the old series. It's fantastic, man. Fantastic.
I'm so amped. I can't wait. My daughter's a huge fan, and I'm actually on hiatus. I can't watch it until she gets back from camp, so...
Yeah, and everybody, that's Pete.
Hey, what's up?
Pete's in the house, too. Hey, what's up, dude? Pete? What's
doing,
going on, man?
Doing all right.
Which one is your favorite so far out of the ones that you've seen?
Like episodes or characters?
Episodes. Episodes or season, whatever.
Episodes. I just want the first three because they reinvigorated and they brought the whole thing of Voltron out of the 80s and into today's into today's generation, and it bridges the gap because it gave me and my wife the same excitement that it gave my daughter when she first saw it, and she loves the show, right? Mm-hmm. So seeing that same excitement from a pair of 43-year-olds coming out of a 13-14-year-old, you know, for a cartoon, dude, it recaptures the magic that we had as children, and being able to see that in our kids today, it's fantastic. Love it.
Definitely, man. Yeah, and the first episode is long. It's like an hour long, the first episode.
It's like an hour,
awesome.
Hour and a half or something like
yes,
that.
Yes, perfect.
Fantastic.
Perfect for like an introduction. So it's great, great. So yeah, make sure to tune in and watch Voltron on Netflix, man. Really, really dope, man. All right, head over to GamertagRadio.com or play.it/gamertag. Listen to our past episodes, and if you can... share it with your friends. Let people know about GTR. And you can find us on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions.
Yep.
Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Or if you want... you can also watch us live on Twitch every Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, or Wednesday nights, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to twitch.tv/gamertagradio. First topic is about Michael Pachter. Shout out to Mr. Pachter. Well, you haven't seen him since E3. But he says that likely there will be a PlayStation 5... backwards compatible with the PlayStation 4 Pro, and it will possibly launch 2019. You guys, thoughts?
I don't think 2019. I still stick with 2020. But I get what he's saying. I agree with what he's saying. I just think he's off by a year because I feel like the PlayStation 4 has so much momentum right now why rush to get to the next console generation? Mm-hmm. Milk this thing out as long as you can. You have to think a game like The Last of Us 2 probably isn't coming out until 2020. What a better way to have that as a launch title? You have a Naughty Dog title at launch, mm-hmm. PlayStation 5, Last of Us 2. That, to me, that's just, that seems like the logical thing for them to do.
He says also they're going to bring out a 4K compatible device when the 4K TV market reaches 50% in the US and 35% in the rest of the world. I think now 4K TVs are a lot cheaper. Like, look, I just bought one a couple of weeks ago and it was only $899. You know, at first it was a lot, it was very, very expensive. But I mean, it's going to get cheaper and cheaper now, man. You know, so like, I remember back in the days when the HD TVs came out, it was really expensive. And that's from the time where I think Xbox were the first ones to have their consoles as a HD video game console and stuff. So, yeah, I think through time it's going to get cheaper, man. Really, really cheap. So,
I mean, I think it's a good time to come out. I just think the same thing that Perry said is with all these, with the next versions of games coming out, I think it's still a little too early for a game or for Sony to release a PlayStation 5 mid-generation, like what Microsoft did with Xbox One X. I think Microsoft needed to do it, whereas Sony doesn't need a requirement to come out with a new generation of hardware. Yes, they can, you know, they can say that they want to get into the full 4K market, but I don't think they need to. There's no need for them to come out and just, okay, here's new equipment. Now we've got to recode new games to be able to be able to support the new hardware. There's no need to. I mean, I don't think Sony wants to sit back on its laurels and just accept what it's doing today. But I just don't know if it's right now is the right time.
And think of this too. 2020 is 7 years. That's your typical console refresh. I mean, mm-hmm. we've seen it happen earlier, like obviously from Xbox to Xbox 360. But I just don't see a reason. I mean, because the last one with Sony was 2006 to 2013. It was 7 years. That would be consistent with the last generation for them. Hell, Microsoft did it 8 years last time from 360 to Xbox One. So I see no reason for them to rush this, you know, to get to in a 6 year time frame and go to PlayStation 5 or even Microsoft, for example, to go to whatever the next generation Xbox is going to be. Why force it at this point? 7 years is a good base, a good long console cycle. We'll be able to see the peak of games, you know, by 2018, getting into 2019. Then we can start talking about moving on to the next gen, which at that point better be 4K 60 across the board because, you know, technology will be more than capable of being able to support something like that. So I fully expect when we see a PS5 or an Xbox 2E, there'll be true 4K 60 frames per second ultra for all their games. And that's what I want. I'd rather them wait another year to be able to hit that than to rush it and then go, well, we got to do checkerboard and some of the things won't be able, because that's what happened last generation. So, because if you think about it right now, this generation should be 1080p 60 frames per second for everything. And it's not. And in my opinion, that's a disappointment. So I don't want to see that happen for the next console gen. So I'd rather them wait another year or two than try and force it.
Wasn't it the first Xbox? I mean, of course, it wasn't selling wise. It wasn't like compared to the PlayStation 2 at that time. It did okay. But they released Xbox 360 right away. Now that PlayStation is selling way more than the Xbox One, do you think Microsoft will probably release their next gen console first than Sony because of that?
That's hard to say, because with them putting out I keep wanting to say Project Scorpio, but with them putting out Xbox One X, I don't see them undercutting that and then in the next 2 years coming out with a full next gen Xbox, because you're basically telling the people that bought an Xbox One X, you should have waited, because now this is the true beast. This is the true monster that we've been expecting. So I think even with Xbox, 2020 at the earliest for whatever the next console gen is going to be. I don't see them doing it in 2019 and undercutting everything that they're doing right now this holiday with Xbox One X.
Now, if they do plan to release a next gen console in the future, I think by 2019, make an announcement, make it like a little teaser, and then start showing it off in 2020 and then release it maybe holiday of 2020 if that's their plan. If not, 2021 or 22 could be a right time to release it. So, I mean, I see Sony lasting a very long time. They're making so much money now with this, with the PlayStation 4.
Exactly.
So,
yeah. Interesting. Good to know. It's good feedback. I think Sony doesn't need to do what people are expecting them to do. Mm-hmm. Definitely in the right direction. Just the timing is a little off. I just don't think now is the right time to do that.
Mm-hmm. Destiny 2 PC. The beta restricts certain game capture and voice chat apps. I'm kind of confused about this. What's going on? What's going on with this?
Okay, guys? So what they're doing is, and this is an anti-cheat method. So I 100% get why Bungie is doing this, and this really only affects streamers. It's not affecting the average gamer who's just gonna go play it. Basically, they're not going to like I use OBS to stream. Pete uses OBS to stream, or like XSplit and a couple other. I think the Razer application is affected by this as well. You won't be able to go full screen when you do your streaming for Destiny 2 because it's an anti-cheat method. So what they're going to do is what is it? I always say it wrong, but you can do it in windowed mode, or there's a full screen borderless
mode
that you'll be able to do. So it's just going to require a couple tweaks. Like, ironically enough, the way I do my stream is I do anything that's full screen, it'll capture and stream it. So I'm going to have to change that and actually capture it a different way. So it's just going to require a tweak. But then when you look at some of the higher end streamers that have, you know, hundreds of thousands of followers and all that, they have these high-end sophisticated setups. So it's going to be a pain in the tuchus to be able to go back and forth between what they're going to do, but everyone will adjust. It's not that big of a deal. And I know Discord, as an example, is affected by this on the audio side. So we got time. With the beta, we're going to be able to figure it out, how we're going to stream it, things like that. So it's just going to require some tweaks on our end. But in the grand scheme of things, I'd rather, as a security guy, my philosophy and everything is lock everything down first and then build it back up. That's why Nightbot in our Twitch stream is so merciless, right? Because I lock everything down. And then as I'm getting feedback from people, I've been loosening, you know, kind of loosening the belt a little bit and allowing more and more access to it. So I'd rather Bungie take this approach, lock it down hard first, and then they can tweak it along the way. Because look at the Division as an example on PC. That thing was hacked to shreds that first 6 months. And then they had to go back and do a bunch of patches and fix things. So I'd rather Bungie do this and be a little hard. And honestly, it's affecting a small percentage of people that's going to play the game. So I'd rather them take this approach, and then they can look at the feedback and see how everything's working, and then maybe make some tweaks down the road.
Pete, what about your opinion about this, man?
I 100% agree with what Paris is saying. The last thing you want to do is, you know, make it, you know, something incompatible, right? And I think this is the right way for them to do it, especially this is the first year of them going PC. You know, you want to make sure that you capture the audience, but you want to make sure that what comes out from a result doesn't come out poorly, you know, with a bad appearance. You know, they want to make sure that, you know, streams come out looking good, as because essentially they're a representation of your product. So the last thing Bungie is trying to do is having bad content. You're not going to be able to 100% control the content going out, but you want to ensure that whatever content does come out comes out looking as good as humanly possible. So, you know, when it's not a bad thing at the end of the day, because using tools like OBS and XSplit, you can adjust what comes out to your output anyways, right? Mm-hmm. So whether you're doing borderless or full window, it doesn't make a difference. You can adjust and tweak that before you do your stream. You're just going to make sure that, and if you have a bar, if you have a little black bar on the sides or on the top, whatever, it's not something that's going to destroy your stream. It's not something that people are going to be like, oh, that's it, he can't go full screen, that's it, I'm never going to watch a stream again. That might sound petty, but I don't think it's going to be enough to stop the content coming out. And it's not a bad thing. You know, they just want to make sure that what comes out to the viewer, you know, to the viewers comes out looking as good as possible. And as the technology improves, I don't think that it's going to be something that gets worse with time. I think that's just, it's a learning, it's an evolution process. Obviously, with Bungie, they want to take the smaller steps because they don't want to take those, they don't want to stumble, especially with Destiny 2 coming to PC. The last thing they want to do is to botch this. So it's from a game perspective, I think they're going to be okay. But because it's the visuals, it's the experience, it's getting the concept out into the eyes of people who may or may not be playing it, they want to make sure that they approach it correctly.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Paris, I know that on Twitter you were posting some news about Rainbow Six. Can you tell us a little bit about it? What's going on with that?
Oh, that Rainbow Six now has over 20 million people playing that game. Or something like that, right?
Wow.
Something
register,
crazy
register,
like that.
I believe. Yeah.
Registered. Yeah. And and the thing about it is, I tweeted right after that is, I never got into it. And I want to get into it. I want to get into that community because, again, it's become a huge esport title. It's a great example of a game that didn't have great sales, but because of word of mouth and people, once Ubisoft got in there, made some tweaks and some fixes to it, the word of mouth got around and it's wound up becoming this huge community now. And like I said, it's one of the more popular esports games out there. And so much so that they have legit seasons now for Rainbow Six. So I'm really thinking that I want to go pick it up and start getting into it. And I'm sure I'll get destroyed early on, but it'll be a lot of fun. I mean, it's a very tactical game. And, you know, I used to play Rainbow Six on the original Xbox. I used to play that thing all the time, like every night, you know, and it's time. I need to get back into that. And I would go PC. I'd go PC if I get it, because Twitch chat is asking about that.
All right. And it says here that more than 2.3 million players are signing in every day. Every day. That's insane, man. Insane. Yeah. Pete, you're a huge fan of Rainbow Six, right? Pete, you there?
I guess Pete doesn't care what we have to say.
All right. No, sorry. I was doing something in the background. I didn't want the sound to come back through.
Yeah.
I think it's phenomenal what Ubisoft has done over the course of the past year and a half, since Rainbow Six came out. They came out, they had success early on, but similar to most other titles, sometimes that attraction, that hype starts to taper down. Whereas Rainbow Six, Ubisoft Montreal has just gone, like they went ham essentially on supporting the community, getting them involved into esports, getting viewers watching the championships. They've done so much and they've kept bringing people back in, people that may have played it early on and they liked it, but they lost interest early on, but they've been able to draw those people back and bring in new people. And it's Rainbow Six is one of those shooter titles that has always been highly touted, highly respected. And to see that it's come back to that Mount Rushmore of shooter titles is great. I love the fact that, they hit this 20 million, player mark. That's fantastic for them. You got to give them kudos, A, for putting out a quality product, B, for continuing to support the product and giving new content and giving stuff for people to continue wanting to come back. Mm-hmm. And then, the marketing has been fantastic with all the championship series stuff. It's great. I love that the shooter genre is starting to see that resurgence. I don't know if it really has needed it. It's not like it's waxed or waned or whatever, but I love that the shooter the whole shooter genre has just seen this super resurgence of people wanting to see it, between them and the CSGOs. PUBG's got like 500 and something thousand people. They're the first title to finally, I think it's like the top three title being played on Steam. It's the number one title being played that's not a Steam or Valve created game like CSGO. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, kudos again to Rainbow Six and the guys and girls, at Ubisoft Montreal, because they've just done a bang out job.
Yeah. Yeah. Compare when, remember when this game came out, there wasn't a lot of content, but now, dude, if you're a new Rainbow Six player, you buy the game, you're going to see a lot of stuff in there, man. So I think it's worth it. And it's cheap too, to buy the game now. It's a lot. Yeah. I'm definitely going to do that, man. Probably going to check it out too, man. So hopefully we could do some like a game night with our community, man. That would be awesome, man.
You know, oh yeah.
So,
oh yeah.
Yeah. All right. So another thing too, Pete, Call of Duty, man, there's a special edition coming out. I believe was EB Games in Australia. They posted a tweet about it, man. Let me see if I can see it here. Have you seen it?
Oh no. Yeah, I seen it. It's called the Valor Collection.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like it's going to be, according to the Australian site, so depending on the money market, you know, dollars may vary. Release date, obviously November 3rd, along with the title. It looks like there's going to be a small desk sized, you know, bust, the game, the map. And it looks like this is what was leaked a couple of months ago with the metal tin and things like that. Is it for me? I don't know. I think early price right now is $230 AU. I don't know if that's something for me. What's included is the game. You're going to have that metal case. The metal case is what we had talked about what had been leaked a couple of months ago. Mm-hmm. You have DLC for The Divisions, not to be confused with The Division, obviously different developers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be an exclusive statue, which looks like a bronze piece of, a bronze statue that sits on your desk with five or six of the characters in various positions. There's going to be an in-game or a complete set of in-game division patches for infantry, airborne, mountain, armored, and expeditionary. You get a collectible Nazi Zombies Blood Raven sword pin and a 24x36 Nazi Zombies poster as well.
Mm. Looks dope, man. I'm definitely. Gotcha.
It looks dope.
Man.
I just. I got enough stuff back here. I don't know if I can afford. I don't know if I've got enough desk wall or table space to keep putting toys out.
Yeah. Yeah, Paris, do you see yourself getting this or not really? We talk positive about the game, though. No?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe. Is that a fair answer? Can I say that?
That's a fair answer. Yeah, yeah. That's a fair answer.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool. All right,
what about you, Danny?
I don't know. I'll probably get the game, but that's it. Not. I have too much crap, man.
Yeah, because I know you're a big fan of the zombie mode. Because I know you've been playing it on the Café con Danny show and stuff random streams and stuff like that. But
I'm honestly very excited about that. I definitely want to try it out, the zombie mode. To get the whole like statue and everything, nah, man, I have too much.
And I guess that's what I'm saying. I'm really not a collector guy anymore. I'm like, just give me the basic game. That's all I need. I don't need nothing else. So that's why I lean towards no. I say 75% no.
All right. Here's my question to you guys. Here's my question. What was your first edition, like a special collector edition you ever purchased from a video game when it came out, day one?
I don't know if I've ever purchased one.
I could tell you mine's, but Paris, maybe Paris, we probably have the same one. I'm not sure.
Say that again.
All right. First collector edition from a video game that you purchased day one.
Man, that is a good one.
Actually, lies. GTA 5.
GTA.
No, I go.
That was your first one?
No, I go way back on that.
That was the first one that I actually went out and purchased with my own money because it came with the. Was it 5 or 4?
I think it was 4.
You know what?
It might have been.
You know what? I'm gonna do something.
Yeah, it was. It was.
I'm gonna do something unprecedented, and I'm gonna go get my collector's edition. So y'all keep talking to humor yourself. I'll be back in 30 seconds.
Yeah. All right. Here's mine. Mine's was Halo 2. It was like a special collector edition. It came with like a DVD. You get to see like the behind the scenes of the making of the game and everything. So that was my first one back when the Xbox, the original Xbox. That was my first one ever. My first one. And, you know, yeah, because I know Dreamcast also had like some stuff too, but I just purchased like the game. I don't know if Shenmue was like that. I can't remember exactly. But yeah, Halo 2 was my first one ever. That was my first one. But now I'm thinking Grand Theft Auto, GTA, which one was that? Like, what?
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. It was the Grand Theft Auto 4 Special Edition.
Wow.
It's funny. I think
look at Paris. Paris, actually, this is what? Halo, Master Chief, for those that are listening?
Yep. Yep. It's the Halo 3 Collector's Edition. It's the cat hat, the helmet. And yes. I'm looking at the number. I have number 278557, and it's probably dusty and everything because it sits out in the garage now. But yeah, this was my collector's edition. Never again. Never yeah. again.
Never again. Now, why yeah. never again? Why never again? Because I feel like
what I just said. 10 years have passed, right? And it sits out in the garage collecting dust. Why do I have it? I don't. I'm not a collector yeah. like that. I don't need it.
Yeah.
That's funny. So the one that I got is the Grand Theft Auto 4 Collector's Edition. It came with a metal lockbox. Mm-hmm. It came with a dope Rockstar duffel bag, stickers, the book, the artwork, and you know, on top of the game and stuff like that. It's funny. I actually have the helmet, but I didn't that same Master Chief helmet that Paris has. I didn't get it through that. I just collected it after the fact. I actually had a friend hand it over to me because she was like, I don't want it anymore if you guys want it. And mm-hmm. I actually ended up giving that to my son, and my son has it still to this day. He actually took it to college, and it sits on his desk in his dorm room.
Yeah. All right, so here's the next topic, and this is a pretty good one, man. I smiled when I read this, man. I was really happy about this. The WNBA is coming to NBA Live 18. I think that's awesome. And I read the tweets from people that are like, well, you know, 2K should have done this a long time ago, but do they really need it? I'm like, but still, I think that's cool that NBA Live is doing that, because now it's like, now I see the difference between the 2K and NBA Live. There's like, you know, it's going to stand out more, in my opinion. You know, the only thing I need to know, like, how is that gameplay wise, how to control the players and everything. Is it good compared to NBA 2K and everything? But I think this is a good first step, man. Adding WNBA into the game, I think it's really, really cool, man. Really positive.
100%.
Yeah.
My only concern mm-hmm. is, let's say they put someone like Tina Charles, who was like the MVP for this past year. Mm-hmm. You have players like Maya Moore, Brittany Griner, Diana Taurasi, things like that. Are their numbers going to be consummate to their male counterparts, right? So let's say you get like a, you know, Brittany Griner out there, or actually, you know what? Let's go with a guard perspective. Let's say you have a Diana Taurasi out there mm-hmm. who's rated, let's say, 95 or 90 mm-hmm. on the scale, and you have her play someone like Steph Curry mm-hmm. who's rated like a 95, 98 or something like that. Are their ratings going to be, you know, equal to each other? You know what I mean? Or mm-hmm. you know, hopefully they do. You know, that's just my only concern when you mix and match something like this. So hopefully they do it right, and mm-hmm. and they don't, you know, they don't slight the WNBA player, people like that, you know, players in that respect. But I think it's a fantastic opportunity for EA to draw in a different crowd exactly. from the sports arena, because mm-hmm. typically it And I'm pretty sure it's not meant as a sexist or misogynistic concept, but when mm-hmm. you think of sports in video games, you commonly think of the NFLs, the footballs, you know, the basketballs, all male dominated sports. So mm-hmm. when you bring in, you know, when EA having the vision of bringing in the WNBA, hopefully that draws in more women into the video game scene. I mean, hopefully this gets to the point where now we, you know, hopefully this introduces the game to more of the female population and brings maybe having them coming on over and playing mm-hmm. in these tournaments, playing in or participating in these events, similar to what we saw at E3 when we went to the EA Live party and, mm-hmm. you know, they were playing, you know, that had all those, you know, all the streamers and stuff like that, Dougie from Good Game Bro, things like that. Those were all males. I would have loved to have seen a more, you know, more of the female contingent coming out there. I just don't know. Are there streamers that are doing that? Hopefully this brings out more and starts to augment that space.
Or YouTubers, Soupy. Or YouTubers. Doesn't have to be only streamers. But yeah, I agree.
Streamers. Totally agree. I just said streamers. Content creators.
Yeah. Paris, your opinion about all this, man?
Yeah, I mean, I think adding WNBA players to NBA Live is a great thing. I mean, basically everything that Pete was just saying. I mean, there's nothing negative that can come out of this. Other than, look, we know there's going to be some idiots on social media that's going to say some dumb sexist things about it. But overall, this is the opportunity to get an audience that is there to embrace getting into video game sports. Why not? You know, if we know there are females out there in the world that are huge WNBA fans that idolize, you know, Diana Taurasi as an example, the same way that my son idolizes Steph Curry. You know what I mean? So to get her to embrace, all right, ooh, now I can play with my favorite character. I can play with my favorite WNBA team. That's just a win. And it's going to force 2K to do it. I'll bet you cash money that NBA 2K19 will have WNBA players in it. Why not? You know, so this is good. I'm glad that EA is doing this. Look, they may not outsell 2K this year. Look, there's a high chance they won't, but competition is good. Adding new features into the game is good. So like I said, overall, this is going to be a positive thing. I look forward to it.
It's the same thing with WWE 2K Paris, right? They have women wrestlers there too. And I would like to see more of that, you know, adding also the classic wrestlers there too, man. So now the thing is, do you think we will see like a female like in the cover of NBA in the future? Do you think?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Why not? Yeah. Why not?
Because they've done it. They've done it with FIFA. Was it FIFA? They had like two different covers, I think, or I can't remember exactly. They had the U.S. team. I think that was when the World Cup was going on, I think, at that time. I can't remember exactly. But, yeah, I would love to see that, man. That would be awesome. That would be awesome, man.
Yep.
And it's funny. EA has been the ones that have been championing this cause, right? They started it with UFC, theoretically. I mean, if you really want to, you know, if you want to take it down to brass tacks, they're the ones that started championing this recent resurgence in including women into video games, especially from a sports perspective. I want to say, I don't want to say just women in general. I'm just saying women into the sports games, because they did it with the UFC with Ronda Rousey, Misha Tate, and so on. So fantastic. It's absolutely great. And, you know, hopefully they just keep doing this more and more.
All right, so shout out to our sponsor, Western Digital. With WD, you're now able to get a solid state drives and hard drives to fit your unique needs. When you add the superior performance of a WD solid state drive to your PC, you get blazing read speeds so you can boot your system quickly or load games and other applications in a snap. Combined with a reliable WD hard drive, you get up to 6 terabytes of storage to keep your game library, direct feed video, podcasts, and more all in a single place. And for limited time, Gamertag radio listeners, you could get 20% off WD SDDs with coupon code WDGTR. Let me repeat that. Coupon code WDGTR. That's 20% off WD SDDs. Find out more at WD.com/GTR. Take advantage of this. This is 20% off. You're not going to get this anywhere else. So take advantage of this. This is a great, great offer right here. Limited time offer. So once again, let me repeat this. Gamertag Radio listeners can get 20% off WD SDDs. And here's the coupon code WDGTR. And remember, for more information, go to WD.com/GTR. I know a lot of people might not know this, but I think it was like a year ago. So PlayStation added Spotify to their console. You could listen to music while playing, and you could also listen to podcasts. Like you could listen to our show while playing the game on the PlayStation 4. There's been a rumor that Spotify is also coming to Xbox One. Somebody took a screenshot of Major Nelson testing Spotify through the Xbox. It came out in one of the like activities online and stuff. So I think this is good. This is a good sign, man. I think that'll be cool. People could listen to our show while listening to Spotify and playing a game. You know, your thoughts about this, man? I think this is really cool. Really cool.
At the end of the day, it's not surprising there's a Spotify app on Windows 10 devices. At the heart of its core, the Xbox One, Xbox One S, Xbox One X are Windows 10 devices, mm-hmm. right? So it's not surprising to start to, you know, that we're going to start to see app iterations start to move over into the console space, since mm-hmm. they're essentially running that OS anyways. It's just a matter of, you know, just porting that over. So it's good to know that that's coming. Me personally, I just don't know if I'm going to use it, because I don't typically listen to, you know, alternate audio forms while playing the game. I kind of like to be immersed in mm-hmm. my session, whether I'm playing PUBG or playing Fortnite or Wildlands or whatever. I kind mm-hmm. of don't want to have the distraction. I can imagine Paris, you know, playing, you know, Trials, and then, you know, or whatever, and then putting on like, you know, putting on his favorite soundtrack. I'm not going to say the name. and getting distracted because he starts, you know, nodding his head because he's liking it or whatever. You know, I just for me personally, it's not for me. Obviously, I know, Danny, you love listening to music, whether it be a podcast or listening to, you know, hip hop or whatever, you know, so, you know, mm-hmm. If that's your bag, go for it. I think it's cool. It's not for me.
Yeah, I think it depends on the game. Like something like Grand Theft Auto, Saints Row, you know, stuff like that. Yeah, I see myself doing that. But if I'm playing Call of Duty, Destiny, you know, first person shooter game, I don't see myself, because I really doing that. I don't see myself doing that. But I really want to pay attention to like any sound effects or anything. Like, is any the enemy is coming, you know, while I'm playing multiplayer. So that's why I'd rather focus on the sound of the game when it comes to that, you know. So yep. It depends on the game.
100% agree.
Depends on the game.
And a slight correction from our previous WNBA discussion with NBA Live. I guess myself, and I think Danny did too, we were saying female and not women. Hey, women. Apologies. Weren't trying to offend anyone. So apologies on that. Women, obviously, you know, just, hey, semantic slip of the tongue. No offense meant in that, because, again, I think it would be a very positive thing, you know, just overall to have women in NBA Live and not just men. So, okay, let's continue.
Yeah, definitely.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, let's see what we have here. All right, so we have some fan mail. It's time for fan mail. Let's do this.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right, Pete, we have a voicemail, right?
Yes, we do. Yep, I'll go ahead and hit play now.
Hey, this is Rob from Virginia Beach, a longtime listener, and just decided to finally kind of give my opinion of your last couple episodes on the podcast there. First off, congratulations on your Twitch stream, and just wanted to also give you some constructive criticism or feedback on your stream. I know you record that, and you kind of do some post-editing for the podcast, but when you guys are calling out the subscribers right in the middle of when somebody's given a thought, whether it be Paris or Pete or even Danny, somebody gives a shout out to a subscriber, it's kind of jarring to the listener, at least to me anyway, kind of pulls me out of what you guys thought was, and sometimes it even distracts you completely from the original thought you guys were trying to communicate. I mean, I've watched a lot of Twitch streams and understand that's part of the hype, you know, letting people giving props to the subscribers and the followers and stuff. So, I don't know. I've also listened to some other podcasts that were recordings or archives of the streams, and maybe you revisit that at the end of your podcast and you cut that out of, or at the end of your stream and you just cut that out, or you recognize those folks on your after show or whatever. Overall, you guys are the best as far as, well, as I'm concerned, is having best production on a podcast. Quality, audio quality is great. I do appreciate your opinions and your feedback that you guys give and the criticism you guys give each other.
All right, thanks, man. Appreciate you know, the call in and the voicemail. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, doesn't matter that we've been doing this for 12 years. You know, we always want, you know, the criticism from the listener, because obviously you're our target demographic. It doesn't matter whether you're on our stream or whether you're in the audio space. Mm-hmm. You know, we appreciate that and we love that. That being said, yes, we always have room to grow, and, you know, thanks for the feedback. We'll absolutely take that into consideration. And I'll let the guys talk and, you know, how they feel about it.
It's like I totally agree what you were saying. I think it was because, you know, we got excited about the whole streaming stuff and it's like our first time and everything. So, yeah, and I agree. We can't forget about our podcast listeners. I mean, we've been saying that from the get. But at the moment when we're like, you know, live streaming, we're not even thinking about that. You know, we're just having fun interacting with people online and everything, what in the chat. So, yeah, I totally agree. So far, this episode, we've been doing a pretty good job with that, just focusing on just the content that is perfect for the stream and also for the podcast listeners, you know? So, totally agree. I mean, I know the voicemail was long. I believe it was like 3 minutes or so. He also gave us other feedback and stuff, which we could talk about in a few minutes. But, Paris, what are your thoughts about this voicemail, man?
No, yeah. That was great, honest feedback. And I really appreciate that. And it's funny because I think, you know, subconsciously, I kind of thought we were catering a little too much to our live audience as well. So I kind of felt like we need, because I've always, if you listen, I'm like, you know, make sure that, you know, we focus on the podcast. I would make little comments while we're recording because, you know, I kind of thought we were doing the same. Because like you said, I think we got to just, this is new. This is all new to us. We don't know what the hell we're doing. So we got a little excited about it and we would see a subscription. Oh, you're dancing and doing all this stuff. But yeah, we can't do that. And, you know, and my good friend Mark over at Guardian Radio, he had the perfect tweet about this earlier in the week where he was saying podcast comes first, Twitch comes second. And that's true because the majority of our audience is the podcast. We wouldn't be here on Twitch if it wasn't for the podcast. So that's who we cater to. So we have to be very conscious that there are people that are listening to this and not watching it live. And I appreciate him sending in that voicemail and I thank him for that because, you know, constructive criticism makes you better. And that's the one thing that I've learned throughout life is you got to have a thick skin and you need to listen to people when they're telling you, I'd rather hear what I'm doing wrong than what I'm doing right. I say that all the time, because if you tell me what I'm doing wrong, I can correct it and I can get better. But if you're just going to pat me on the back all the time and say, you guys are great, then you're just, you're going to get comfortable with what you're doing and you're just going to continue to do the same thing over and over. You know, just like we had in the chat, to acknowledge the chat for just a second, where slip of the tongue said female instead of woman. You know, that's good feedback because I didn't mean anything by it. It was just simply running at the mouth like I usually do. And it's like, oh, you pointed out something that we said and we corrected it. So moving forward, we won't make that mistake again. Same goes with anything else that we do in the podcast. That's why I say anyone that tweets at us, sends us voicemail, email, etc. If you come at us, you know, the right way, whereas you're just giving honest feedback, we're always going to respond to that in a positive way. But if you come at us cursing and calling us names and, like, you know, saying all this crazy stuff, we're not going to respond to that because that's ridiculous. You know, we're all adults here. You know, let's treat each other like adults. Let's not, you know, let's not feed into the negativity that is the internet, where we always that brings out the worst in people, is what I'm trying to say. So again, I know I talk a lot, sorry, but I appreciate the
voice. Fine.
Appreciate that voice.
It's fine. No, it's fine.
100%. There's, like, you know, like you said, there's no opportunity for growth if all we're getting are accolades and pats on the back, right? So at the end of the day, yes, Twitch is cool. This is, you know, this is a brand new space for us. We're all excited about it, but we can't forget where we came from, which is the podcast. So, you know, obviously we'll take that into consideration. We'll learn, we'll grow. And as long as we're learning from our experiences, we're growing and we're not going to go fall back into dancing and hooting and hollering every time there's a subscription. You know, let's don't forget where we came from. We're still going to be appreciative. We'll still say thank you and et cetera. We'll just, you know, we'll just move that to the end of the show so it doesn't interrupt the flow of what we're talking about or the discussion that we got.
Can I,
Pete? Oh, go for it.
No, I'm sorry. Cause okay. I actually want to acknowledge something that's in the chat really quick. And this is directed at Pete. So Elite Mad Skills is saying he has a question. I'm in the market for a great headset. I know on the podcast you guys have recommended SteelSeries and Logitech. I have an Xbox One. I'm looking at Pete and I see the headset that he's wearing right now, and it's from Lucid Sounds, and I believe it's the LS40. If I'm not correct on that, I'm not asking you to give a review on it right now, but that may be something to consider. And I'm sure all three of us will have thoughts on said headset here in the very near future. So.
Yeah, that's correct. The good folks over at Lucid Sound, set us up a monster care package of their entire LS series. So they sent us LS20s, which are the wired headsets that are compatible with consoles, LS30s, which are compatible with consoles and PC. They're also wireless. And these that I'm wearing right now, these are their flagship LS40 wireless headsets that they're Dolby Digital 7.1 full wireless. I have them connected via my sound card on my PC, and they're phenomenal. They're comfortable. I mean, I wear them for long 3-4 hour game sessions. The battery works pretty well. I haven't had any issues with the battery dying. And I'm not going to give the full review right now, because I think we're going to do that later once we've all had an opportunity to really put, you know, all of them through its paces. We'll probably have a longer form discussion on all of them. But man, those that have been watching us over the last couple of months on the Twitch stream have seen this other pair that I have with this big long orange cable. And while they're great, I'm kind of tethered to where I sit, so I can't really do any movement. Whereas, you know, now I have the freedom to just get up and walk away and still be able to listen and hear. But hey, I can't complain, man. I'm really digging them right now, so I can't wait to hear what the rest of the guys have to say with regards to the 30s and 20s.
Yeah, I'll just say real quick, because I'll be getting, because I guess Danny sent, looks like you already got yours, but I'll be getting the LS30 and the LS20 next week. I'm out on vacation, but when I come back, my big test is going to be with the LS30s, because they're wireless. I want to use them on the PS4, and I want to be able to stream with them. And I want to be able to include my party chat audio and just some of the videos I've watched. I'm not 100% sure I can do that yet. So that'll be the test for me. If I'll be able to do that, those will be my daily driver for when I'm streaming. Because like you said, Pete, I want to go to a wireless solution. Like the headsets I got on right now are my Logitech 533s that I use on the PC, which is fine. But if I'm console gaming, I want a wireless solution for that as well. And to be able to stream and have all my audio go into the stream as well. So that's what I'm really looking forward to. But everything that I've read and I've seen about these headsets say they're phenomenal. And we actually got to talk to the creators of them at E3, which was great as well. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to next week.
Yeah. And what I'm planning to do too, because this month I'm going to be traveling a lot. So I'm going to be using these headsets as like for me, listen to music and listen to podcasts. So I'm going to be doing that too, man. So this whole month, actually every week I'm traveling, and I'm having only like 1 week off the first week of September, and then I'm back at it traveling again. So I'm definitely going to be using this for sure.
Speaking of traveling, real quick, because I'm about to be traveling, I'm going to have my first on the airplane Nintendo Switch experience. I'm actually looking forward to that.
Ooh, how many hours? Ooh, how many?
Oh, my kids ain't going. Kids staying. This is an adult trip. Flight. What is it? Two and a half hours, something like that.
That's good. Yeah, that's good. Which game are you planning to play?
Zelda.
Zelda. Awesome.
You know, I've not. You know, really cool. I've barely played it since I never had the damn thing. So this would be my first opportunity to get some like a good uninterrupted, you know, hour and a half, 2 hours of gameplay just to get me started and into it. And hopefully that'll push momentum. I'll keep playing, which, by the way, once I do get fully integrated and start playing, I'll be streaming it on Twitch.
Ooh, that's going to be fun. That's going to be fun. And you should definitely try out Mario Kart 2 Paris during the flight. It's a lot of fun. That's what I did.
Don't tell me what to do.
It's a lot. Wow. Let me live.
Let me live.
Reclaim your time.
Yeah. So do we have other questions? I know.
Absolutely.
We.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, here's one from One Subset. Mm-hmm. What's up, Gamertag crew? I really enjoyed the last podcast live stream. Last podcast. Live stream was great, especially watching Danny squiggle and squirm. With that being said, my question to you is, in this current console generation, with all of the great games that have come out, which game, in your opinion, gets the most free, keyword free support, like that of GTA 5, Forza Horizon, Overwatch? In your opinion, which game, either of those three, or if you can name some more, gets the most free DLC support from their respective studios? Keep up the good work and don't let the critics dampen your spirit. Peace out.
Well, in my opinion, Overwatch.
Yeah, I think that's the GOAT right now for free stuff.
Free stuff, yeah. Because mm-hmm. DTA, yeah,
I can't go wrong. Although, yeah. No, you were saying?
No, I'm saying that GTA, I think there's a lot of content there, but it's like, is it free content or is it paid content with GTA? I'm not sure. I heard more stuff with Overwatch.
Well, I'm pretty sure it's GTA. I'm pretty sure it's free. I don't put a lot of time into GTA 5. I really haven't. But I'm pretty sure, I'm pretty confident that it's been free since day one. So, but yeah, you can't go wrong with Overwatch. Overwatch has killed it from a downloadable content experience. So
yeah, well, I was reading here, David Tuslash, shout out to him. He said that GTA Online is all free online content.
So yeah, can't go wrong.
Yeah, so
can't
that's go good. Wrong. And it's been a couple years, dude. GTA 5 been around for a very long time. So yeah, yeah. I can see that. I can see that with GTA. You know. So definitely, he's right.
We actually have one on screen. We actually have one from Jalen Brown here in the Twitch chat. What are your thoughts on free-to-play games?
All right. Give you a perfect example, Pete. Fortnite. I'm loving the game, right? You could buy this for I think, what, $30 or something like that, or $39.99, something like that. So it's going to be free online next year, which I don't have an issue with it. But there's people that might be worried about that. I don't see any issue with that at all. Are you worried about that though, Pete?
No, but I think his question I don't know if that's a downloadable, if that's regarding free to play, like initial entry games that are free to play, like Warframe, things like that.
Warframe is not that bad either. You tried it?
I love it. I remember playing Warframe since the early days. It's evolved so well, and it's one of those few titles that have actually been able to modify its portfolio of offerings. Granted, yes, just because it's free to play doesn't mean it's completely free. You know, obviously there's opportunities for them. You can buy yourself, you know, mm-hmm. new frames, etc. It's fun. Mm-hmm. My only concern is people getting in after the fact. You have some barriers because you're then going up against people who may have already, you know, spent a lot, you know, considerable time and money to augment their frames. So mm-hmm. in some instances I can see it. If it was a game, you know, where your ability to be a wallet warrior didn't hinder or make yourself a better player, gamer, or person in the game, in that respect, I could support it. But I think a game that allows you to buy yourself into the higher echelon, you know, better weapons, better armor, better gear, etc., just might be a little off-putting in my personal opinion.
Paris?
I really don't have too much more to add other than everything that Pete just said on the matter. I've never really been big into the free-to-play games. If I were to get into one, it probably would be Warframe at this point. I don't know, and maybe it's just a stigma that I have, but it's a thing of you tell me free-to-play, that means if I want any of the really cool stuff, I got to grind for a super long time or I got to throw money at the situation. And I don't want to do either. So I don't know. It's a weird conundrum when it comes to that. That's why I just never really get into any free to play games. But I understand the popularity of it and I understand why a lot of people do it. So there's another question in the chat that I wanted to get to because this one was earlier. This is, and I don't want to butcher your name, brother, but it's Barslone101. I believe that's how you say his name. He's asking, was it difficult switching from console to PC gaming? I would say yes and no. It's no, because you just go do it. Just if you want to go start playing PC games, just get what you need and start playing. Yes, in the sense that if you're not comfortable on a mouse and keyboard, you basically need to make yourself comfortable on a mouse and keyboard. And the only way you're going to do that is to start playing and doing it. You know, it takes practice. Mm-hmm. And then once you get comfortable with it, then you'll be fine. I even noticed to this day, if I go an extended period without using a mouse and keyboard, it takes me a minute to get back into it. But once you get the feel for it and everything, you know, look, if you need to look down at the keyboard and do it. So what? Eventually, you'll know where the placements are on the keyboard. You'll know where the shortcuts are that you need, and you'll get that muscle memory going. And then without even realizing it, you're no longer looking at the keyboard anymore. And always remember this with PC gaming. Mouse always defeats controller when it comes to precision. So that's what the appeal comes to for PC gaming, you know, especially in a PvP environment, that a keyboard and mouse person is always going to trump a controller every time, because you're just simply going to be more precise with a mouse.
Yeah, remember when I got to play Star Wars Battlefront 2 at the EA Game Changers event at E3? There was everybody was playing PC, and I'm like, oh man, there's no controller. Crap. I have to get used to it. So at first, I was playing horrible, but after a couple rounds, I got used to it. I got used to it big time, man. And we did a better job, you know, after I got used to playing the whole mouse and keyboard stuff, man, you know. So, but now my question is to you guys, the Steam controller, do you think that's okay or not really? Or
I never use
it. That doesn't help?
I have one. I've had one now for seems like a couple years. I never use it. It's just, I'm like, why am I trying to get used to this? Either just use the damn Xbox One controller or use a keyboard and mouse. That's what I default to. But the whole point of a Steam controller is for that couch experience. You know, if you're doing like Steam Link or you got your PC directly hooked up to your big screen out in your living room. So I understand the appeal of it. I just think Valve never truly embraced the community with it to make it something that's going to be widely accepted. It's still a very niche market with it. As an experiment, I probably should pick it back up, because I've seen some videos where people are playing PUBG with a Steam controller. So maybe I should try that and see how that works out. Which, on a side note, I've been playing PUBG with my Xbox One controller and with my keyboard and mouse. And the funny thing is, I've actually had more success on my controller than I have with a keyboard, because the couple times I've gone in with a keyboard and mouse, I get freaking murked like 20 seconds after we land. but with a controller, I've lasted longer. So that's just funny. But I know that a keyboard and mouse on PUBG is the preferred way to play it on the PC. But I'm trying to get used to doing with the controller as well, because when that inevitable, it comes out on Xbox and PlayStation, I want to be able to jump in on that as well. So here's
a little story I got to tell you guys. So last night I wanted to, you know, turn on my Steam machine to see maybe I could fix it or something. So now it doesn't turn on now. Before it was just showing the logo and it would just stay there. Now is this yellow light thing that pops up now every time I turn on my Steam machine. So it's completely dead, I think, my Steam machine. And I know, Pete, you said that you talked to somebody over there, right? You spoke to somebody over there at E3 about fixing the device, or because I honestly, I don't know what else to do.
I told you in the past, send it to me. I will reinstall the operating system. I could do all of that. And when we were at E3, I spoke to the technical hardware manager at Alienware, and he said to contact him and that, you know, send it in. And that they'll be able to they'll do what they can to replace it. So that's on you, brother.
Yeah, I'll send it to you.
Send it to me. I'll reload it. I'll do some troubleshooting on it. And worst case scenario, we'll just send it back out to Dell. And have
you know what
it.
We really need to do? We really need to reach.
Or just have Danny fix it himself.
No, well, that too. But I know we're saying, oh, we want Danny to build his own PC and all that good stuff. And I do think that would be a great thing for him to do. But look, maybe we need to talk to Alienware and be like, look, what can we get Danny at a reasonable price so we can get him into PC gaming? And I want to acknowledge something again from the chat. Is asking about, you know, people with RSIs who need a controller. It's not always about being top, but comfort and accessibility. And again, that's the thing with the beauty of PC gaming now. Majority of games, unless it's a game like Civ or something, like an RTS, they support a controller. Mm-hmm. So if you want to use a controller, you can. There's nothing stopping you. But if you want to be competitive in PC gaming, with PvP, keyboard, mouse. You have to, because you will get murked if you try and roll up in there with a controller.
So there is someone in our Discord community that has played PUBG with the Steam controller, and that person has done rather well. I think they won. I don't know if they went and won, but they had something like 10 to 14 kills on PUBG mm-hmm. with the Steam controller. So it's not always that. I think there's a good opportunity for it. I know that there's potential for it to replace it, but I do think that it's a possibility. It potentially could.
Now, my question to you guys, you know, with Destiny 2 coming out for the PC, do you see yourself playing this with a mouse and keyboard or play the controller that you guys are already used to?
Okay, I'm going to answer that, but I'm going to acknowledge the Twitch chat really quick because someone's disagreeing when I said that if you want to play competitive, you will get murked if you use a controller going up against people with keyboard and mouse. You can disagree with me all you want, but statistics dictate that keyboard and mouse is just simply more precise and accurate than a controller. It does not matter how great. I'm not saying you can't hang and compete. Sure, anyone can. But if you start going up against the top players in the world, keyboard and mouse every time will be the controller. That's just, yep. It is what it is. As far as the Destiny 2 thing, I'm actually going to do an experiment with the beta. I'm going to do keyboard and mouse, but I'm going to play with a controller as well. I'm just curious. Again, this mm-hmm. this think tank, this thought experiment I want to do. I want to play with a controller and I'm going to go in PvP and I'll see how I do, you know, against keyboard and mouse players. But I'll say this, and Luke Smith has even said this, over the past few months, expect the PvP community between the console and the PC for Destiny 2 to kind of branch off. Basically, if you want to be competitive, you're going to play on the PC because it's going to be keyboard and mouse, whereas the console is going to be considered the more casual experience. So when Destiny 2 does become an esport, because it will, because if you look at it playing the beta, that's what they're building it to be. The competitive scene will be on the PC. Just it will. That's where you're going to see it. And don't forget, Activision owns MLG now. So, I mean, it's just a no-brainer.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
That's where they're going to take the game. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Pete, what about you? Do you see yourself also playing mouse and keyboard, Destiny 2, for PC?
On PC, yes. I think it's gotten to the point recently where I'm more comfortable. It's not something that comes overnight. Obviously, it's something that's going to take a while. Mm-hmm. Me personally, over the past, say, 6 to 8 months, where I've actually heavily invested in PC playing game time, mm-hmm. I've noticed that my game style and my ability to play has improved. I think on PC, I'll play on PC. If I'm going to play on console, I'll play with the controller. I don't want to mix and match. Obviously, there's some game types or some games that just feel awkward when playing. And that might just be a matter of just changing key bindings on PC. Mm-hmm. I know, for example, on Gears of War, it's a lot easier to play on it's a lot easier to play on controller because that's how it was designed. Like, for example, when we were doing Horde mode, I think it was last week. Mm-hmm. Typically, on the controller, you would just press Y to do the reach over on the wall to pull your opponent over, and then you could just press another button, and then you would do the fatality. Whereas on keyboard, it's like an awkward keyboard shift to move over to hit something. And then, you know, just to pull that person over, it's just way too many different awkward movements on the keyboard. Again, it just might be a matter of just adjusting my key bindings on the keyboard. Mm-hmm. But as far as playing on PC, I think, or Destiny 2, I think I'm going to play that. If it's on PC, I'm going to play it on PC. How will I do on PvP? Just might be a matter of practice, putting in time, and then just adjusting the key bindings to fit me, to fit my game and play style.
All right, so we're going to wrap it up here, guys. If you're watching this on Twitch, we're going to do a little after show right now, so make sure to tune in. Quick announcement here. August 23rd, that's in a couple of weeks, in Anaheim, California, we're going to the Academy of Podcasters Awards. We're going over there. Paris is going to be joining me. So if there's anybody that's listening or watching that lives around that area, let us know. We'll get you in. You could attend the awards with us, walk through the red carpet, take pictures, all that stuff, and just get to hang out. That's August 23rd, I believe 6 p.m. Pacific time. So yeah, hit us up. Also, I'm going to Orlando next week, Friday. I'm going to the Call of Duty Championship tournament that's happening that weekend. I'm leaving August 11th, and I'm going to be there to Sunday, August 13th. So anybody in Orlando, hit me up. We'll definitely hang out over there too. So any other quick announcements from you guys, or we're good?
I went to the Lighthouse the other day in Destiny.
Yeah. Well, congrats.
Tick that off. And like I said, I shied away from Trials for so long. It's like I'm literally kicking myself for not getting into this way sooner than I did. And, you know, shout out to Guardian One Clan and Connor over there, you know, because like I feel like I'm actually glad that it took a couple weeks for me to get to the Lighthouse versus the first time that I started playing with those guys, because I didn't feel like I got carried. I felt like I actually contributed and I was helping and I understand the game. And we were talking about that the other night towards the end, like Connor was noticing how much I've improved with Trials from when I first started to now, because I'm understanding sniping lanes and doing call outs. And except you know all that, doing, you know, team kills, and you know, if you get one man down, the strategy of trying to hold that so they can't revive them and all that, dude, it's so much freaking fun, so much damn fun. And you know, I'm thankful for those guys getting me into it. And like I said, I've now officially done everything in Destiny. Everything. There's not one activity in Destiny I've not done at the high end on the end game level. So super excited about that. And bring on Destiny 2, because I will be on there for Trials day one.
Awesome. And I forgot to mention, the reason why we're going to the awards is because we were nominated for, I think, Best Games and Hobbies podcast. So yeah, that's why we're going to the awards. Pete, anything else from you?
No, we have some surprises coming in store for the show in the coming weeks. Mm-hmm. Some group travel, some special guests coming on the show. Mm-hmm. So just stay tuned. We're obviously, you know, we got some good stuff coming along.
Yeah, I got a big surprise for everyone. I won't be on the show the next 2 weeks, so y'all can celebrate, because I won't be here. So no quote unquote Mr. Salty will be here. So it'll all be rainbows and unicorns. Xbox,
Emerald everywhere, Emerald. Yeah. Should we give a couple of shout outs to the subscribers, new subscribers, before we wrap it up?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. There's been a couple of those. There was subscribers. Shout out to Dan the Robot for his subscription. Shout out to Tyrannosaurus Rex for the Prime subscription. I Need Div Games hosted us. Who else? Oh, also we had Nez92 with another $10 donation. Making my day every day. Thank you, Nez. Shout out to you. Over the last week, you've been dropping monster donations, and we appreciate it. You know, shout out to Barge Loan earlier in the week for dropping the 50. Shout out to Duffy as well for dropping the 20 spot. Mm-hmm. You know, again, you know, thank you all for all of the support you guys are doing and helping us out. It still blows my mind every time that little thing pops up on the screen and says, you know, X has subscribed.
Even offline too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Online, offline. Every time we see it happen, you know, I make sure to go in and at least say it on the stream if we're not doing it verbally. You know, obviously it blows my mind. So again, shout out to Dan the Robot. Shout out to Nez92. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Tyrannosaurus Rex for the subscription, and obviously all of the followers. Thank you. It blows my mind every time we see something like that.
Definitely. All right, so head over to gamertagradio.com or for play it.it/gamertag. Listen to our past episodes over there. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. And you also could watch us live on Twitch. Go to twitch.tv/gamertagradio. Check out our schedule there, and join us, be part of the show. Another thing, guys, I forgot to mention this. The Messengers, a podcast documentary, is ready there on iTunes. You could go and pre-order the movie. It's coming out August 23rd. So we need your support right now. It's only $5.99. You go use you can buy it, pre-order it through your iPhone, iPad, PC, Mac, laptop, PC. It doesn't matter. Just go out over there and support us. Because right now I was checking out all the movies that's coming out the week of August 22nd, we're number two, right next to Tom Cruise, the Mummy movie. I heard it's pretty crappy. It got bad reviews. I was very curious to watch that movie. But we're right next to that. So it's really, really cool. Great to see support from the community. So if you haven't got a chance, please pre-order the movie. And it's featured DTR, the whole DTR crew in the pen there, man. So, all right. Until next time. If you're watching Twitch, stay tuned. We're going to have our after show. So until next time. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.